It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Alrighty. All the packets are passing, the streams are streaming, the internet magic is working. And this program is on the air. I know. Yeah. It is the fifth day of October 2020. This will be the first full week of broadcasting in the month of October 2020. Hi, I'm Bob. And what's more to say than that we are inside of a month until Election Day, with quite possibly millions of Americans already having cast their ballots.
Yep.
And just as predicted, not that it required a crystal ball or anything, it's getting weirder by the fucking minute. Plain and simple. So we will get into all things, all this madness this evening, this afternoon, as we plumb the depths of depravity and weirdness that is this COVID world right now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our subscribers over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and this morning. That means thanks to Bernice, Betty Boop. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you to Lauren out in the far frozen wastes of Alberta in Canada. Thanks to James in Illinois. Thank you very kindly indeed. Thank you, David. And thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Thomas. And thank you, Paul. Thank you all very, very much. Thanks to Chris in Germany. Thanks to Bill. Thanks to Janice. Thanks to Jean and Anne. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to John. Thanks, all of you, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this little experiment in non-corporate, non-capitalist broadcasting on the air. So that brings it, it so here we are, Monday. The fundraising goal is where the fundraising goal is. We try to raise $200 every evening. But I did get, and I thought I would share this with you, I did get a note from Chris in Germany, who caught Steve in New York's observation that he thinks the fundraising goal should be raised. And given how, well, wacky and zany things were Friday evening, that part of the conversation really didn't get, it didn't get much attention. But Chris said, I heard Steve from New York suggest we need to increase the monthly fundraising goal. And I agree. To that end, I'm increasing the amount of my monthly contribution to $75 starting next month. I hope the community can join in. Being an amateur Uber driver just won't pay the bills. Meanwhile, signed Chris, looking for beeswax in Stuttgart. Oh, it's inescapable. The madness has been, I'm usually not at a loss for words, but this is one of those moments. It was weird enough Friday evening when we were just talking about the mere idea that that Nitwit Nero had the Rona. But over the weekend, it got even more bizarre. It was, oh, he's got the Rona. Or does he have the Rona? And I don't know if there's consensus. Certainly the multimillionaires of the for-profit media are acting as though he's really and for truly got it. And there was the madness over the weekend of having Chief of Staff Mark Meadows come out and say things that Nitwit Nero said. They said Nitwit was infuriated because he told the truth about his medical condition. And then there were the medical so-called press briefings, which were completely at odds with what Mark Meadows had said. And then we were told that Mark Meadows only said that because he thought he was speaking not for attribution, and that since his name wasn't going to be attached to it, he could tell the fucking truth. And it's anybody's guess what's really the hell going on. And I got nothing better than any of us do. But I know my good friend B-Rez, Brian Reznor, who decamped from West Virginia and now lives in Florida. He's a big time wrestling fan, and he said I know a setup when I see one. And we were chatting a little bit earlier, and I pointed out that every now and then, it's good to remember that Donald Trump didn't get his start in television with some reality television show where he said, "You're fired" a lot. He got his start in reality television on Vince McMahon's WWE. Okay? Wrestling. And what we are witnessing now is wrestling, where you don't know exactly which part is untrue, which part is true, but you know that it's a heady and attention-grabbing brew of truths, lies, half-truths, half-lies, and that nobody knows exactly which ones are which. Although our buddy John in PA pointed out a tweet from Chris Hayes over the weekend saying, it'd be nice if Chris would call in once in a while. It's obvious he listens to the program because Chris had tweeted, all of this has a very Soviet feel to it. And that a couple of days at least after I had after I had pointed out that we had reached the old Soviet leader portion of the program, in which no one was sure whether heroic leader of people really was recuperating at Dasha in countryside. And by the way, I just had a message from Trey in Kentucky, Stan. It's called working the fans, Bob. Yeah. Oh, and just to throw it out there for your consideration, if anyone is considering quitting smoking cigarettes, if I can do it, you can do it. I just want to offer that little bit of encouragement. I'm as big and bad a consumer of cigarettes as has existed anywhere on this magnificent planet in the last 43 years. Today is number 21 without a cigarette. I can't believe it's gone by as quickly as it has. And I double-checked and, you know, counted with my finger on the squares on the little calendar. Today's 3 weeks. 3 weeks without a cigarette. And just trying to put it in perspective for myself, I realized the last time I went without a cigarette, I had to be carted out of the house in the middle of a blizzard and taken to the local hospital, because we were afraid that I was having a stroke or something, because my blood pressure had gone through the roof. That was the day that the doctor told me, because I'd been in the ER for hours and hours and hours, and I was starved, and they'd taken a chest X-ray and stuff like that. And I said, "Hey, can I get a hamburger or something?" He goes, "Well, you can eat anything you want. You're gonna die. You got cancer." And then proceeded to show me the X-rays, and that certainly changed my perspective. Turned out it wasn't cancer. They were things called granulomae in my lungs, which were leftovers from old infections that my immune system had calcified around, little nodules. "Oh, you eat anything you want, you're going to die. You want hands up." Bob didn't have cancer. Bob hopes he still doesn't, and doesn't ever want it. But that was the last time I went 21 days without a cigarette. Our youngest was not only not born yet, she wasn't conceived yet. The last time I went 21 days without a cigarette. So I'm pretty impressed. No, impressed is the wrong word. Proud is the wrong word, too. I'm pleased. All I have to do now is not turn into the Goodyear blimp and eat the world. All I have to do now is not turn into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and, "Oh, give me more food. Oh, where is that?" We're working on that part. Soup. A lot of soup. You know what I like? I like miso. No, quit that. No jokes. What's that, Trey in Kentucky, Stan? So, COVID Caligula is leaving hospital with a COVID pneumonia, asking for a friend. We don't know. Don't nobody know nothing. Because yesterday it went from weird to, oh, fuck. And yesterday I was talking about, you know, it's called working the fans, said Trey, speaking to the issue of the similarity to wrestling. And like I said, we went, you know, who's telling the truth? Is it Mark Meadows? Is it the doctor? Is it no. And then yesterday, okay, first of all, he started tweeting, and then he made the video, another video, and said, I've had COVID, I get it. No, you got it, Nitwit Nero. And as Flavio points out, I'm fucking sick of all his gaslighting. What did I say? Something's rotten in the state of Denmark. At this point, I wish they and his followers would all go get drowned together. Rest easy, Agent Fred. And your pal, Agent Phil. Wishing is still legal. Flavio says, I suspected he was lying. And it was a made-for-TV production. So far, I seem to be on the money. Well, I put up similar sentiments over on Facebook, and there seems to be a split of opinion. No, he's really got it. Versus, yeah, I just don't know if any. I don't know anything. And see, those of us who are saying we just don't know anything anymore, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. As Shorty in L.A. puts it, Chris Wallace did say Trump showed up too late to be tested for coronavirus before Tuesday's debate. Former Vice President Joe Biden was tested before the debate. Trump intentionally was late, period. Who's going to question the President of the United States as to why they were late? The answer to that question is we, the American people. Game, set, match, case fucking closed. And so we're all doing this weird-ass COVID math now. There's COVID toe, COVID nose, COVID smell, COVID taste, and now we got COVID math. Because we're all pretty well convinced that something ain't right. We just don't exactly know what it is. And so, as we proceed into the meat and potatoes of the program this evening, thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started. That takes us down to 195 to go. Thank you, Jeremy. And I just had a note from Randy in PA. In the spirit of Chris from Germany, I too am boosting my monthly contribution to $75. Thank you, Randy. Thank you very kindly to you and Chris and Darlene's been talking about doubling hers. But trying to raise the fundraising goal, let me just put this out there, isn't so much about getting the people who are already carrying this program on their backs to do more. It's to get people who maybe are new to the program or have never helped perpetuate the program to jump in. We need more participation. Thank you, Randy. Thank you. So, I don't know, depending on input, probably we'll boost it to 300 tonight sometime in the near future, maybe. I don't know. I'm waiting to see. Anyway, nobody knows. And yesterday only got weirder. And today built on yesterday's weirdness. Because yesterday, you know, bizarre got cranked up to 11. It got cranked up to 11. When he decided to go for a car ride. Yeah, the President of the United States was given a, who we're told has a deadly virus and may have needed supplemental oxygen on Thursday night or Friday night or Friday night or early Saturday. We don't know. Because this administration is about as forthcoming as the person at its head. In other words, it's full of liars. But just to try to describe this in terms that we can all wrap our heads around, yesterday, after we had been told that, yes, he has the coronavirus, yes, he is the only human being on Earth ever to be given the steroid, hexamethod, I don't know, but the steroid that's supposed to be good for COVID patients, plus two kinds of monoclonal antibodies, antivirals, plus remdesivir, which we were told beforehand could only be administered in a hospital setting, which made me scratch my little pumpkin head. And then I had a brief exchange with our buddy Dave number 11, who said, well, as long as he's got the HepLock in, they can administer it at the White House because the White House has everything you, that a hospital has, except for an MRI and a CT scan. I guess there's even a little operating theater there. Okay. But still, no other human being on the planet, Boris Johnson, who was even on a vent, included the Prime Minister of the UK, well, we were, so late yesterday afternoon, after his medical team and the ones who were not directly under his thumb did everything but blink SOS with their fucking eyelids, they said, oh, he's healthy, and, we may say, hell, we're going to send him home Monday or Tuesday. So that gets people like me and we, us, the community, going. And we start asking questions. Like, for instance, how do you send somebody home who still actively has the virus and who is actively contagious? Wouldn't that be, and granted, this is one of those lawyery kind of turns of phrase, wouldn't that be a breach of the standard of care? Not that anybody's getting sued, but that is, you know, there are standards of care for a reason. Because when you have a standard of care, it's the standard that is applied based upon the best principles of medical science. And to deviate from that standard of care is therefore to deviate from best practices. And if you're going to have best practices, well, there's no point in having them if you're not going to follow them. And if you're going to have them, well, certainly the President of the United States would be the one that you would expect to be most thoroughly and completely within that ambit. I hope this is making some sense. I know there's no guarantee of it, because I haven't had anything make sense for me for an entire weekend. And it was a nice weekend. We had lovely days here, blue skies. And it was pleasant. It's getting colder. But it was just pretty outside, and we got out and moved around a bit, and it was nice, and I didn't have to take Ferg to work on Saturday. I had a Saturday off. I won't have another one of those for a while, apparently. But if I understand this correctly, and I'm not at all sure that I do, he has the coronavirus, and they're going to send him home with the coronavirus. Okay, well, you know, Bob, you're worrying too much. I mean, he's going to go, and he's gonna stay in the residence, and nobody will be around. Bullshit! Somebody, some poor soul, has to bring him his hamburgers and his Diet Cokes and his taco bowls. Somebody has to go in and clean up. Somebody has to go in and do his fucking hair every day. You'll notice his hair has been did to his exacting standards every time he showed up. And we know that precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner says that it takes about 2 hours to do that. So somebody's getting huffed and chuffed at by this viral load while that's happening. He can't do it himself. And they're just going to send him home. With no word that he is no longer positive for the virus. If you're making sense of this, I want to know. Please, shoot me an email, whatever. Send me an email. Send an email to me and help me understand. Because then yesterday, on top of all of this, him go car ride. I mentioned that the last time I was 21 days without a cigarette, our youngest wasn't even born yet. And of course, she's got a beautiful bouncing baby boy now. All her own. And sometimes when babies get fussy, oh, there's nothing more. Your heart just breaks for them. The misery of a colicky newborn. Because nothing seems to assuage their misery. And so sometimes when you've got a fussy newborn, you get to the point where you say, okay, we're going to go for a car ride. Riding in the car usually puts them to sleep. We're going to go for a car ride. And so that's what you do. You bundle baby up and you put baby in the car seat. And you go and you drive slowly around the block a few times until maybe, just maybe, baby finally stops being so fussy and goes to sleep so that the harried, worried mommy and daddy can themselves get some sleep because they're at the ends of their endurance. For all intents and purposes, that's what happened yesterday. We were told about the extensive suite of rooms that is reserved for the President of the United States. No small amount of irony, because the goddess is completely in control of everything now, the goddess of irony. That's why some of this is just so goddamn weird. This magnificent suite of rooms, there's a situation room. There's a big table with lots of chairs where people can meet with the president while he's over at Walter Reed. Just about everything that the president could need at the White House is available as if it has been cloned at Walter Reed, plus a whole bunch of medical stuff. More. And it wasn't enough. And he was still carrying on fussing. And baby was so fussy and colicky, and he knew that there were a bunch of maggots who had gathered outside the hospital grunting and hooting and barking and so forth. Because he could hear them, I guess. Or more likely, he saw it on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
I want to go outside and see my friends. I want to go out and play. I'm gonna hold my breath till I turn blue if you don't take me out for a car ride.
And so they then did that. A guy who is actively spewing COVID particles, presumably. They put a mask on him. They take him outside. They put him in a presidential limousine with two members of the Secret Service who are, you know, oath sworn to take a bullet for the president of the United States. But I don't think ever in the history of the Secret Service has there been a moment quite like what happened yesterday. You know, this isn't the Secret Service agent leaping onto the back of the presidential limousine in Dealey Plaza in Fort Worth or in Dallas in 1963. Holy crap, no, it isn't. And wondering when the next shot is going to ring out. There were two Secret Service agents inside the limo, one driving, one riding, shotgun. And he was put in the back in a mat with a mask, wearing a mask, and he was driven slowly by the crowd of the adoring throng of maggots, and he gave them the windshield wiper hand wave. Remember, there's two kinds of there's the windshield wiper where your hand, and then there's the royal light bulb turn. He did the windshield wiper. For all intents and purposes, that was a death sentence for those two members of the Secret Service. One infectious disease expert who practices both at Walter Reed and at George Washington University Medical Center, both of which are capable of treating a president in extremis, said it was quite possibly the most irresponsible thing he had ever seen in his life. Because, as he pointed out, the presidential limousine isn't just another car. It's not even just another car that happens to have a lot of armor plating and bulletproof glass. One of the other things that went into the creation of the presidential limousine is the fact that it is resistant to a chemical attack. That means that it is a hermetically sealed chamber. And so those two Secret Service agents and Corona Caligula were driving along in a swirling sea of viral particles. And one of the things that makes me think he's got it or has had it or something along the lines of what Billable Rick just wrote, Trump definitely has COVID. I don't see any upside in Trump faking a COVID diagnosis.
Oh, I had it, and I beat it with my superior genes.
Are you sure about that, Billable? The fact that he claims to have gotten the disease has two effects. One, it reinforces the cavalier and incompetent manner in which he's failed to take this illness seriously, which is his number one liability in this election. And two, it takes him off the campaign trail and prevented him from having his maggot rallies in Sanford, Florida, where Trayvon Martin was murdered, where he can soak up the adulation that he so desperately needs. Also, how would Trump have faked the fact that numerous people at the ACB super spreader event at the Shrub Garden two Saturdays ago, the Amy Coney Barrett, also being known as the Rose Garden Massacre, by the way. On the other hand, having COVID would allow Trump to escape needing to participate in further debates against Biden. But my vote is that Trump really does have the Rona and that he needed oxygen and extraordinary medical treatments over the last several days. Irwin adds, hopped up on steroids, this is what I've heard, namely that he has the virus and steroid treatments have given him a high. Hence, he thinks he's over it when he's not. I'm like you. I'm uncertain what to think. It seems many Republicans are reporting sick from the same event. I think it would be hard to coordinate such a thing. I think he has the virus. I saw that he had a 90% chance of surviving, according to one doctor. Most likely he will survive, but with uncertain damage. And that's the other part of the equation. He survives, and then what? What has it done to his body? Because we know for a fact that it leaves wreckage behind. And so there he was, waving to the adoring crowds. He didn't get to lower the window. I guess the Secret Service had the lock button on.
Why won't my window come down? I want to shake hands.
Sir, you're already killing us. We can't let you kill other people.
But they're my fans. They would die for me.
Well, yes, sir. They would. They're not very bright. I mean, this reminded, honestly, like I said, Agnes and I finally got around to watching the HBO series Chernobyl a few weeks back. And this reminded me of nothing so much as that. You know, those poor doomed human beings who went into the nightmare hellscape of that wrecked reactor and then simply waited to die. That's what I was thinking of when I saw those two masked Secret Service agents in the presidential motorcade. And then there was everyone he came into contact with on the way from the presidential suite at Walter Reed all the way to the car. There's no way to keep him from spreading particles. You can maybe diminish it, but not eliminate it. And now he's gonna go home to the White House and kill again? Over the weekend, we found out that, yes, more people have it. Skeletor, Kellyanne Conway, announced that she has it. And her daughter, Christina, put out on social media, "I am furious. My mother's walking around the house coughing at me. And now she has it. Don't listen to our stupid fucking president. Wear your mask." How 2020 is it when a 15-year-old understands it better than her own law school-educated mama? And then today we found out that Kali Maganini has it, who stood there hooting and barking with no mask on at the White House press corps Thursday and Friday. She's got it. And what is much more disturbing to me and saddening to me, because I care about working people a hell of a lot more than I care about Donald fucking Trump, the people who attend to the day-to-day functioning of the White House are getting it. Not high-paid, highfalutin, no. People who just work for a fucking living. And they have been poisoned by this poisonous president. Sunday afternoon over on MSNBC, they interviewed Omarosa Manigo Newmond. And she gave us the best picture I've seen yet in terms of a description of Walter Reed. She said, "I had an opportunity to go to Walter Reed, and I spent a lot of time there. Because I was in that boot," she'd hurt her, broke her foot, for about 6 months, and I had to go back and forth. I'm so grateful for my doctors there. But let me just tell you what it's like at Walter Reed, particularly the presidential suite, probably one of the most advanced medical wings. They can fully support Donald Trump and his COVID diagnosis. The only comfort I have is knowing he's only a mile away from George Washington Hospital, where they, too, are part of the umbrella of medical care, and the director there can also handle any kind of presidential incidents. But why go and expose the staff, the Secret Service, the military aides, the wonderful staff in the residence, even the junior staffers you see there going in and out? They're at risk in the Trump White House. And she said, that leads me to believe that his condition is worse than what they're describing. For him to be transported means there are things they have not shared with the American people. There are members of the staff, career staffers, who are very upset about the fact that this outbreak has happened. They're calling it the Rose Garden Massacre. It could have been prevented. One of those career staffers have been testing positive for COVID, and they do not have access to the best cutting-edge technology like the president does. They could succumb to this virus. So I'm hearing things, and a lot of it is they just don't understand why even now the White House has not changed their mask policy. People are still being allowed to roam around the complex saying the masks are optional. Then, of course, during the so-called press briefing, one of the team, the doctor team, said, "Our plan for today is we want him to eat and drink and be up and out of bed as much as possible. If he continues to look and feel as good as he does today, we hope to discharge him tomorrow." Yeah, we're going to discharge him fully still contagious. Jesus Christ. So anyone can be forgiven for thinking anything, because nothing makes any sense, and there's no truth in these people. Two housekeepers, according to Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, two housekeepers at the White House have tested positive, and they had no direct contact either with Nitwit Nero or any members of his filthy family, which in turn leads to the conclusion that the White House itself is simply an infected hotspot. But as Maggie Haberman reported, when their tests came back positive, these housekeepers were told to use discretion in discussing it. That's another way of saying don't say a goddamn word if you want to still have a job. Of course, you might die. Steve in New York observing, Donnie's joyride. Normally a Secret Service agent jumps in front of a bullet, a third party fires at the person occupying the presidency. In this case, it's the person occupying the presidency firing at Secret Service agents while they try to move out of the way of the bullet. We're at that place. We've talked about it so many times. We are at that place where the president can actively be killing people and no one will take him into custody because he is above the law. Ron in Raleigh says, you did hear when Donnie Bag of Donuts went on the doofus that screamed as the limo passed that he would die for that man, meaning Trump. I haven't seen this kind of devotion since the Reich. Slavish devotion to the insane. Pardon me while I go eat dirt and run a rabbit or two. Well, save some for the rest of us, Ron, because we're all going to be chasing. Jeremy says that, according to a post from our buddy Ben Birch, Rudy Giuliani now says that Bill Barr has it, too. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Darlene says, I actually thought he looked better without the pancake makeup and his hair being molded to his head in greasy ways. At the table there signing his fake documents, he looked, well, somewhat natural, even though he's potentially dying of COVID. Boy, does that say a lot. But I'm so happy how my hard-earned tax dollars are supporting his fat ass in hospital with the best health care in the world that my money can possibly buy, when all the while he works nonstop to take away my health care? Because, yes, let's do remember, part of the reason that chinless Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch, is so absolutely afire to get Amy Coney Barrett, who for all we know may be the Typhoid Mary in this entire piece, she may be where it starts, because it's curious that, you know, Father What's-His-Name, who is the president of Notre Dame, got it at the Rose Garden ceremony. But that was a week ago Saturday. And that Saturday date just barely falls within the window of incubation time for him to have it by the time of the debate on Tuesday. Maybe Judge Handmaid is Judge Typhoid Amy. P.S., Darlene says, have you noticed that Billy Big as a Bus Bar has been awfully quiet, self-quarantining even after not one, not two, not three, but four COVID-19 tests over the weekend that all apparently showed negative? If I didn't know better, I'd say Billy Big as a Bus was a bit, nervous, maybe, just a tad. Practically making out at the Barrett nomination with that virus-spewing Kellyanne Conjob may have cost him. But he's got to live long enough to help Trump steal the election, you know. PPSS, does Laura Ingraham have COVID too? She was featured in one of the after-reception photos in the White House after the Barrett nomination, just wondering. PPPSSS, this whole Amy Comey Barrett nomination thing, did not get off on a good footing, now did it? This foreshadows doom and gloom to come as she winds up desecrating the seat of RBG. PPPPSSSS, you get the drill. Claudia Conway is apparently extremely ill from the virus. What kind of mother is Kellyanne to do that to her family? She's a mother on about the par with a mother catfish. Mother catfish will eat its young. But, yeah, let's deal with that real quick. The reason they've got to get Amy Coney Barrett confirmed and onto the court has nothing to do with Election Day. It has to do with something that's happening on November the 10th. On November the 10th, and by the way, this was an historic day of sorts, sadly. This was the first time that the Supreme Court has come into session without Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court since the early 1990s. 1993, maybe? First Monday in October. But the reason they've got to have Amy Coney Barrett on the court is because on November the 10th, the court will hear arguments in the case brought by a number of attorneys general of the United States, including my attorney general, pill-passing Patty Morrissey, the man who profited by the vast number of opioids that were dumped in West Virginia and is now our attorney general. The Attorney General of Texas is also one of the plaintiffs in that suit to overturn the Affordable Care Act and take health care away from tens of millions of American citizens. His own staff dropped a dime on him over the weekend, having informed law enforcement that they believed that the Attorney General of the state of Texas has himself become a law violator. No, really. It's quite the story. And so even the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has said, well, this is deeply disturbing. Yeah. So that case is heard on November the 10th, and they want her on the court, Amy Coney Barrett, so that she can vote to take health care away. And make no mistake, she knows exactly how she's supposed to vote. Lickspittles are like that. And they've got to have her on the court for the argument, but in time for the arguments, so that then she can cast a vote and turn what would have been a 5-4 majority preserving the Affordable Care Act into a 5-4 majority overturning it. Take a moment and let that sink all the way in. In the middle of a pandemic that has killed 210,000 Americans, infected over 7 million, the Republican Party is still absolutely obsessed with taking health care away from American citizens, such as it is. And yeah, over at the Attorney General's office, including his own top aide, Jeff Mateer, Steve Paxton is apparently under investigation for allegations of improper influence, abuse of office, bribery, and other potential crimes. That was reported over the weekend by the Austin American-Statesman and KVUE-TV. The senior staff of the Texas Attorney General's office, pretty much all of them, just flat out quit over the weekend and told the Human Resources Director of the Attorney General's office, "We have a good faith belief that the Attorney General is violating federal and or state law, including prohibitions related to improper influence, abuse of office, bribery, and other potential criminal offenses." Signed by 7 senior members of the Texas AG's office. And on October 1st, they even sent a text message to Paxton himself saying that they had done so. Meanwhile, he's still under indictment and has been for over 5 years for securities fraud. So far, he's managed to hold up the trial on that by arguing over where they try the case and how much to pay the special prosecutor. Imagine that, the defendant gets to argue about that, how much to pay the special prosecutor who is bringing the case. Jesus. Hell of a weekend. I mean, ordinarily this would be more on Monday. And yet somehow it exceeds it in both breadth and scope. Matt, in San Francisco. With a note. Making sense? I don't know if I can make sense of what's going on, but I can offer a glimpse into living with a mentally ill person, i.e. raised by one. He has a mental illness. That in and of itself should be enough to 25th Amendment his ass. However, that ship has sailed. The guy in charge is sick. Those surrounding him have to follow his orders. Therefore, he's unable to do very crazy ideas that pop into his head. Every crazy idea. Apparently, no one around him has the wits about them to simply walk away. I suspect tomorrow will be a maskless visit to an elder care facility. This man is a clear and present danger to himself and others. We're in so much danger, I can't even put it into words. I know exactly how you feel, Matt, because I'm struggling with the same sort of thing here with the microphone on. Mother Conway, Brendan reminding us, mother is only half a word. The wit and wisdom of Red Fox. If you can read the writing on the wall, you're in the toilet. As Scott in San Diego has reminded us. Yeah. Mother's only half a word, especially in Mother Conway's case. Flavio says, I feel for the folks who have to collect Trump's Depends. I was a part-time housekeeper for 10 years. You come in contact with a lot of hazardous materials. And yes, that is loaded with viral particles, too. On the bright side, with Kali Maganini having the Rona, Steve in New York says, no more press briefings. Oh, don't be so sure. Don't be so sure at all. Shorty in L.A. says, did you see the Secret Service agents inside the vehicle? They were wearing a face shield, a mask, and other protective gear. Yep. Eye coverings, shield, N95. And, yeah, that does look to be a gown of some sort, too. They knew the risks that they were being subjected to. Randy and PA reminding us they conned Ed Bradley of 60 Minutes into crawling through Chernobyl. I guess they told him it was safe. He was also conned into crawling atop the dome containing some radioactive matter on some Pacific atoll. And, of course, that black guy later died of cancer. Surprise, surprise. My neighbor across the street was Ed Bradley's Jeep driver in Vietnam. When he was in the military. David in South Carolina, Stan, tells us wrestling. There's already a video of Donnie beating up COVID in a wrestling match. It says, COVID no match for DT. No surprise. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan, said earlier this afternoon, in light of today's happenings, as an LGBTQ person living in this country, I'm honestly done with it. They hate us. We're less than human to them. I'm just tired. I'm done. And this, as we reach the top of the hour and the first hour of filibobstering. Bob! It was 32 years ago to the day that Lloyd Benson scolded Dan Quayle at the vice presidential debate, with Benson sternly stating, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine, and Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. That, following Quayle's failed assertion to equate himself in some fashion to John F. Kennedy. I only wish Joe Biden would have nailed Trump with something similar and not called him a clown. I wish Biden would have said something to the effect, you're number one. Yes, there have been some really bad presidents, including Andrew Jackson, Andrew Johnson, Herbert Hoover. But you, Mr. President, are at the top of the list. Trump and the maggots are so damn dumb they would take that as a compliment. I think it's sad that a major portion of people in this country did not believe that Donald Trump had COVID-19 when they initially heard the news. I'm one of them. I don't believe a word that comes out of their mouth. However, because Donald Trump and his White House staff have told and promoted tens of thousands of lies and obfuscations over the last 4 years, I can understand the sentiments of a reticent nature to believe anything coming out of the mouthpieces of this administration. It's even sadder that there's still another significant portion of the country that does not believe that COVID is a serious health issue, and then, thanks to Trump himself, there are still people who think that COVID is a hoax. Maybe after this weekend, hopefully most of the maggots will begin to understand there is a convincing case for COVID. Then again, these are maggots. Yeah, by the way, they stood outside of his hotel or outside of a hotel hospital, outside of Walter Reed, and blared Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. Our buddy Tony observed over the weekend on social media, obviously, they have never actually listened to the lyrics of the song. born down in a dead man's town. Yeah. Joey continues, however, the reality is Trump will return shortly because he has the best health care in the world, health care that approximately one-third of the country does not financially have access to. Hi. Trump will come out of this and look like Lex Luthor, the villainous hero, just like he did at the Republican convention 4 years ago in Cleveland when Ted Cruz was grilling him on stage and Donald showed up on stage right to confront his kryptonite Ted Cruz. Yes, Trump will attempt to turn this serious medical issue into a superhero drama strictly for his own benefit. Then there was Dr. Sean Conley, who stood in front of All America and basically BS'd his way through a press conference. When Jake Tapper summoned Dr. Gupta to sum up the Conley conference, Jeffrey blurted out, I can sum it up for you. Conley is full of caca. Thank you, Giraffrey. Let's go from Conley to Conway, and that was what was Kellyanne doing wearing pink last Labor Day. Didn't she get the message to wear brown just like Phony Coney so they could symbolize the brown shirts? Then there was the con job from Conway as she stated Phony Coney Barrett will only practice procedural law, which again prompted Giraffrey to say, Coney and Conway are full of caca. Once again, Giraffrey is correct because no Justice Coney will not practice procedural law, but only will practice law that hurts women, hurts workers, and hurts people's health. This only leaving all the people in this country to just grin and bear it. Ooh. Went a long way for that one, Joey. Then there was Mike Pompeo attempting to meet with the Pope in Rome, and according to Giraffrey, the Pope said, You're full of poop, Pompeo, so just stay in the States. Pompeo shot back. But I graduated first in my class at West Point. This has been Joey's Journal for more on Monday, the 5th day of October, with Giraffe surmising in a most intellectual manner, I do believe the Pope's rejection of the Secretary of State has left Pompeo in ruins. Ruins. Yeah, see what he did there. And courtesy of Robert in Australia, a little bit of humor for us.
Oh, I hope everyone is having a good time because I'm not. I'm locked in a hermetically sealed vehicle with a highly contagious patient for a photo op. I thought I'd be protecting the president, not protecting myself from the president.
Oh, you know what? That road sign looks suspicious. I'm going to go check it out.
Everybody run! Run!
Yeah, tuning out the news. So, Darlene points out, so much for, in Kellyanne's words, when she resigned as counselor to the president, there will be less drama and more mama, right? Wonder if this will be enough to put the knife in the Kellyanne and George Conway marriage. If it isn't, then George is still pretty fucked up, too. Well, he's a never-Trump Republican, but he's still a Republican, okay? I mean, there was plenty wrong with them before Trump. RBG's revenge. If he does have COVID, my beloved ex-wife Christine believes it might be the notorious RBG's final fuck you, Donnie, even though my beloved ex and I are atheists, and she believes that sometimes there's such a thing as divine justice. Let's hope he doesn't keel over. God knows we don't need a President Pence. As for Amy Coney Island Barrett, I'll be giving up Coney dogs until further notice if she's approved to the court. I don't want to be known as eating Coney. Your buddy Dave in the blind. P.S. I'm drinking much more heavily. Much more heavily. I understand. I understand, Dave. Jeremy in Vermont wants to know, is it in the Secret Service contract to die for Trump to drive him to wave at fucking fools? Anybody can quit. No, Billable. He worked too hard for the first one. No second cowbell for Joey for Pompeo has been left in ruins. C- God, and it feels like we've barely even scratched the surface with all of this. Because right before airtime, one of the things that I saw was that Nitwit Nero has sworn that he will attend the debate. Not this week, but next. And despite all of this, they're insisting on planning on going going forward with the vice presidential brouhaha in Utah. But there's a lot of weirdness already attending it. Remember, Mike Pencil Neck Geek was seated right in front of Utah's constitutional scholar. It's in the Constitution. Mike Lee, the senator, he's on the Senate Judiciary Committee. By the way, Tom Cotton has sworn, declared, that if need be, senators who have COVID will be wheeled into the Senate to personally cast votes for the Supreme Court. Maria Bartiromo interviewed him on Sunday, and she said, your colleagues have tested positive. It looks like it was that Amy Coney Barrett gathering at the White House to introduce her to lawmakers. That really was the place where so many people were exposed. Tom Cotton responded, what I can say is everyone is eager to be at work when they need to be at work. The vote's going to happen this month. No doubt about it. Several of the senators who are in isolation right now would come out of isolation before those hearings begin. And then on the Senate floor later this month, first off, I think every senator who has currently tested positive or is in isolation will be back to work under normal conditions. But if that's not the case, Maria, there's a long and venerable tradition of ill or medically infirm senators being wheeled in to cast critical votes on the Senate floor. Yeah, he's willing to kill other senators just to get a Supreme Court justice when there's already a majority on the court. I mean, it's a 5-3 majority right now. Five Republicans, 2-3 not Republicans, five monstrosities to three decent human beings, however you wish to characterize it. They've got a majority, but they're so hell-bent and they're so afraid that old Balls and Strikes Roberts might defect to the other side that they are literally willing to kill each other in the Senate to get Amy Coney Barrett on the bench. That is the degree to which these freaks are committed to their God Emperor and to their sick, twisted, virulent ideology, toxic ideology. So there. Why is it that Mike Pencil Neck Geek's team insisted that they be seated for the vice presidential debate? Is he shorter than she is? Are they worried? Is mother worried that if she was standing, she might be able to use some sort of sexy time femme fatale rays on her poor, innocent, and malleable hubby? Or could it be that simply by wearing a pair of heels, she's taller than him? Or that she's taller than him in the first place and wearing a pair of heels, that she would dwarf him? I don't know. But this is going to be weird. Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post asking, does Pence have a stamina problem? Has he been ill? Is that why he needs to sit? And then there's the question of the plexiglass. According to a report in Politico, Mike Pencilneck Geek's team is unhappy, upset even, about how Senator Harris has asked for plexiglass to separate the two of them, and that the idea of the plexiglass having been endorsed by the Cleveland Clinic. Among other things, the debate commission unilaterally decided that they would separate Pence and Harris not by 7 feet, but to 13 feet. Because that's another piece of information that's come out. Once again, our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown has proven prescient and correct. For a couple of weeks now, I've been saying at the end of the program, don't maintain social distance of 6 feet. Keep it at 10 or more if you possibly can. Because the virus travels further than any 6 feet. Over at Politico, Alex Eisenstadt and Christopher Catalago wrote, but the two camps were split over whether to erect a plexiglass barrier, according to people familiar with the talks. Harris's campaign supported it. Pence's opposed it.
If Senator Harris wants to use a fortress around herself, have at it, said Pence spokeswoman Katie Miller in response to the request.
And see, having a negative COVID test is no indication that you're completely virus-free. It can merely mean that there wasn't enough growing in you yet to show up in the test, given the sensitivity of the assay.
Nine.
In honor of Herb Cain, that's how many senior White House staffers now have the Rona. You might recall that Kaylee McEnany got all pissed off on Friday when reporters asked her when she knew that Hopi Hicks was positive and had tested positive on Wednesday or Thursday morning, maybe. And she said,
I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about anything.
Hey there.
Hey guys, how are you? Hello. How are you? What's up, Mark?
So, Alyssa mentioned that the West Wing is planning to put out the number of staffers affected with COVID. She said you guys have the number. Do you know what the number is?
No, there are privacy concerns. We take very seriously safeguarding the information of the personnel here in the White House. So that's basically where we stand right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you a detailed readout with timestamps of every time the president's tested. He's tested regularly, and the first positive test he received was after his return from Bedminster.
He tested Wednesday night and the time he went to New Jersey.
Again, not giving a detailed readout of his testing, but safe to say his first positive test was upon return or at least after Bedminster, that trip. Thank you guys very much.
Whoa, wait a minute. On return or at least after Bedminster. Well, those are two different things now, aren't they? Yeah. But Kaylee McEnany is not the favorite person of the White House press corps. What she said was,
After testing negative consistently, including every day since Thursday, I tested positive for COVID-19 on Monday morning while experiencing no symptoms. No reporters, producers, or members of the press are listed as close contacts by the White House medical unit. Moreover, I definitively had no knowledge of Hope Hicks's diagnosis prior to holding a White House press briefing on Thursday. As an essential worker, I have worked diligently to provide needed information to the American people at this time. With my recent positive test, I will begin the quarantine process and will continue working on behalf of the American people remotely. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. That's the thing, though. If you ain't wearing a mask, you're putting people at risk. There's a case to be made for criminal charges against all of these monsters. All of them. Because they're engaging in this conduct with deliberate indifference to the consequences of it. And yeah, David in South Carolina, Stan, referred to the video that's out now. Showing him beating the virus. Well, Kelly Loeffler, who describes herself as being to the right of Attila the Hun, who was a murderer, by the way, killed his own brother. Kelly Loeffler locked in a death match with Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins in Georgia for a Senate seat that the Democrats might actually take through Reverend Raphael Warnock if Joe Lieberman's shitty little son Matt would get out of the fucking way. Kelly Loeffler actually tweeted a wrestling video of Trump as the virus. Oh, no, Vince McMahon is wearing the virus head. This is, again, this is back in his WWE days. Vince McMahon has the virus head, virus superimposed over his head, and Trump attacks him.
Hey, look at this! Donald Trump! Oh, my God! The hostile takeover of Donald Trump!
And she said, COVID stood no chance against real Donald Trump. She actually name-checked him. She tagged him in the video, making sure that he would see it. Well, he hasn't beaten it. At least if you believe half of the crap that's out there, he still has it. And if he doesn't have it, then it seems pretty clear that he had it 14 days ago. Maybe it's not Amy Coney Barrett. Maybe it's Nitwit Nero himself. Maybe it's Corona Caligula himself, COVID Claudius, who was the super spreader at the Rose Garden massacre. How do you know what to treat as fact? Well, like I said, Paul from Parts Unknown has been proven prescient. It was several weeks ago when the Centers for Disease Control caught shit for noting on its website that the coronavirus is airborne and that it can travel further than 6 feet. Then when the press saw it, reported on it, and they got shit for it, they pulled it down. With the CDC then claiming, well, you know, it was a draft, it hadn't been thoroughly vetted, we hadn't finalized it. Well, now it's back up. The CDC now says
that COVID-19 can sometimes be spread by airborne transmission. There is evidence that under certain conditions, people with COVID-19 seem to have infected others who were more than 6 feet away. I guess after the Rose Garden massacre, you kind of have to publish that, don't you? When you've got White House day-to-day staffers who haven't been in contact with the filthy Trump family or the filthy Trump, and they're coming down with it, yeah. These transmissions occurred within enclosed spaces that had inadequate ventilation. Sometimes the infected person was breathing heavily, for example, while singing or exercising. How about singing and exercising? Maybe doing some push-ups while bellowing "Onward, Christian Soldiers." The CDC guidance continues. Under these circumstances, scientists believe that the amount of infectious smaller droplet and particles produced by the people with COVID-19 became concentrated enough to spread the virus to other people. The people who were infected were in the same space during the same time or shortly after the person with COVID-19 had left. What's missing from the updated guidance? The language that was in the old guidance that got pulled down after the Republicans and the maggots had a hissy. For example, during choir practice, in restaurants, or in fitness classes. Because choir practice, restaurants, and fitness classes are, well, those are places that they want fully reopened. And so now, as far as, from what we know, here's where we stand. Nitwit Nero says he's going to the debate next week. Recall that debate is set for Florida. Yeah. And that puts Joe Biden in the position of having to say, well, you can go, I ain't going. It's all gamesmanship. It's all just wrestling theater with this sick gang. My God. So he says he's going to go. Oh, and the other thing that Nitwit Nero declared is
don't be afraid of COVID.
Now, I haven't seen anything come across. Has he left the hospital yet? We're 7 minutes away, according to his timeline. He tweeted earlier today,
I'll be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m.
Yeah, the great Walter Reed Medical Center, goddess of irony in charge. A hospital built and maintained to take care of the people that Donald Trump considers to be losers and suckers.
I'll be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m., feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago.
No shit. That's a real tweet. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. Well, why not just say, go about your business. If you die, you die. We've developed some really great drugs that you can't fucking have. I'm alive, if I ever actually had it. I'm alive because I got drugs that you people couldn't even dream of ever getting. Because you're not me.
Ha ha!
So is anybody saying... Is anybody saying that he's not contagious anymore? Has his release been cleared, or is he just going to walk out against medical advice? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. But I know that he is an active menace. I know that he might as well have a gun for what he's doing. Oh, and by the way, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Brother Deacon Asa. So let me try to understand what you're saying here, Bob. Are you suggesting that Trump is going to blow his viral load all over the White House? Yes. Ew. Oh, and hey, if you'd like to help out, and I would really appreciate the help, it costs you absolutely nothing. Go to the main page at headon.live and click on the link to West Virginia Living. And vote for me every day between now and the 11th of October. And there's a chance I could be named West Virginia's best media personality. Would that be awesome? That would be awesome. If you vote once, that's great. If you vote every day between now and then, that's even awesomer. Create a little tsunami of support for an independent broadcaster as opposed to some corporate somebody. It's real easy to do. There's a banner at the very top of the page. Vote for Bob in West Virginia Living's Best of West Virginia. Click here. If you do that, it would mean a ton to me. I'd really appreciate it. And what a shock that would be. Yeah. So... we're 2 minutes away from him supposedly leaving
the great Walter Reed Medical Center.
Well, is he? We don't know. I'm trying to see if I can... Oh, let's see. Let's pull up a feed. See what we can find out. See if the for-profit media has cameras staked out. Yep, there they are. Remote shots of Walter Reed Medical Center. Let's see what they're saying over on MSNBC real quick.
Who they could send out and have campaigning for him, Nicole.
Carol Lee over at Walter Reed. John Podesta remains with us. Dr. Naheed Bedelia joins our coverage as well. Infectious disease physician with the University, Boston University School of Medicine. And Michael Beschloss, the presidential historian and author, also joins us. Doctor, to you, and this is in danger of becoming a hobby horse, but hopefully you can talk about it. The effect of these large dose steroids. There is a reason performers have taken these in the past in limited doses. There is a reason, as we well know, NFL football players in the bad old days took these and were given a freakish idea of their own strength and well-being. I've heard it said just today from physicians, these can bring about a kind of falsely positive mania. These can bring about a false sense of one's own strength because they are illness maskers in a way and not therapeutics.
Good evening, Brian. Yeah, and what an interesting turn of events when we were last here discussing this helicopter on this other way coming into the hospital. Yes, steroids can reduce can basically increase mania. It can make people feel like a million bucks. The steroids that you hear in athletes might be slightly different, but this amount of feeling good right after having it.
I feel great. Yeah, I feel great.
Yeah, well, paw the ground twice, Nitwit Nero. So they've got a static camera shot set up, looking at Marine One, headed in the other direction, because they're going to send the guy with the virus back to the White House to kill more people. Sure. Why not? What the hell? Hey, thanks, Silent R. Lamar. Silent R. Lamar went over to headon.live and clicked on the link and voted for me for best media personality in West Virginia. Thanks. Remember, you can do it every day. Steve in New York points out, and still not one fucking word about 210,000 dead Americans. No, and there won't be. There won't be. A few minutes ago, our buddy Mark pointed out Marine One just landed at the helicopter pad for Walter Reed Medical Center at 6:12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The blades are at complete stop, watching for them to wind up just in time for the nightly news at 18:30. Well, that's what I was tuned. That's why I popped over and tuned in. I pity the crew of Marine One, just like I pity those two Secret Service agents inside the limo. They are all throwing their lives away for a president who isn't even remotely worth it. Is there any other way to express it?
As well, because they are amazing. They do such wonderful work.
They obviously do, Wolf, and you know it's tough to, I guess, balance this part of the job with the idea that the president has this contagious virus again, you know, and potentially putting them at risk. I do want to follow up on something else Dana said as well about the medications. You know, again, we know that he's on a 5-day course of this remdesivir medication. He got a dose today. After the doctor's press conference, but before he's leaving, and then he's going to get another dose at the White House. But the steroids, dexamethasone, any kind of steroid, prednisone, people have heard the names of these various steroids before. One thing that if you've ever taken them or if you've heard about them, you know that people generally do feel good on these medications. They're strong anti-inflammatories. People feel like they've got a lot of energy. They don't even want to sleep. They're ravenously hungry all the time. Sometimes they can feel agitated even with it from a mental standpoint, even manic. But the concern, Wolf, is that it's not the steroids don't treat the underlying illness. They basically are decreasing inflammation in the body, which is not something that people will stay on these medications for a very long time. So I think the real question again is, are his symptoms being masked more so than being treated by these steroids? And is part of the reason he suddenly is wanting to leave and talking about going on the campaign trail, having just been, you know, in pretty serious illness a couple days ago, is that because of the steroids more than the improvement in his overall course of his disease? Anybody who's taken steroids know that they're going to feel well for a while, but, you know, eventually you taper off the steroids and you have to still deal with the underlying illness.
You know, and we don't know, Sanjay, how these various drugs that he's taking, whether the monoclonal antibody cocktail, which is experimental, totally remdesivir, dexamethasone. Whenever you go for a physical checkup, the doctor always says, "What are you taking? What kind of vitamins? What kind of drugs?" They want to know how they interact with each other and the impact of side effects and all that. We have no idea how these three drugs interact in a patient with COVID-19, do we?
No, we don't, Wolf. You know, and if you look at monoclonal antibodies specifically, you know, the trial that we heard about, we didn't even get to see all the data, was just on 275 patients.
By the way, Sanjay there mentioned something significant. You have to be tapered off the steroids. Unless it's just like a one-time shot, you have to be tapered off. And coming off of that shit, he is not going to be a nice person. Not that he's a nice person now. He will be less nice. Could they be sending him home to die? I'm not trying to be funny. That's not wishful thinking. I'm trying to make some sort of sense out of all this bullshit. When sense seems to be in the shortest supply. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, Trump's doctors, I think it's important to remember that all these doctors at Walter Reed or the White House are members of the military. All Trump has to do is give an order to release him or to lie about his condition, and every one of them is obligated to snap a salute and say, "Yes, sir." I was thinking about that, that is troubling, Tom. The other side of that, however, is that we make a point of stating that no member of the military is required to obey an illegal order. The problem comes in trying to determine what constitutes an illegal order. Ron in Raleigh says, "I'm sorry, I'm guessing that's the only load he'll be spraying, truly. I'm sorry." Well, you owe that to everybody who's trying to have dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone, Ron. Media. David in South Carolina sends along a tweet from Olga Lautman. "Trump is a master manipulator when it comes to our media. Nonstop coverage again. It's really outrageous." Yes, it is. And Kim in New Jersey. "Don't be afraid of COVID. I called this last Friday. Trump's not sick. Nobody at the White House is sick. He was not treated with anything. Are you falling for this shit? Everything you think you know about this is fake. Americans are totally stupid, not just ignorant. This campaign will work. He will surge. We're fucked if the press lets this continue unchecked." Kim in Blue Jersey. Get it? Blue Jersey. Yeah. This is a masterclass in how gaslighting works. When you are thoroughly gaslit, you have no idea what the truth is. None. There's not even a clue. There's not a breadcrumb trail out of the woods to give you some idea of what the truth is. Just the other day, Silent R. Lamar says, "I had a conversation with a Trump follower. He asked me, 'What are you looking at?' I replied, 'At you.' He said, 'Why are you looking at me?' I said, 'I'm trying to see if your nose whistles from all that hot air they're pushing up your ass.'" James in Illinois says, "Pence was holding his breath." Look at the seating chart they've shown on CNN and so forth. They've shown the positive persons, with Pence right in the middle of it all, not getting the Rona. Does he not schmooze with the rest of them? I'm wondering if this is his strategy. Don't rock the boat. Don't invoke the 25th Amendment to save your country from the madman. Just wait and bide your time and you could get lucky. He's right there. His number could come up. He could roll 7 or 11. Mother won't let him go to Vegas. But he could still get lucky, you know, if Donnie dies. Oh, and there's another one. Back before the Rose Garden Massacre, if indeed that's what it was, there was a great big march on the mall. It was a prayer march, and it happened before the Rose Garden Massacre there Saturday week ago. And Greg Laurie, who is a gospel sharp at the Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, he was there, and he brought the Rona home. And he put out a statement on Facebook and said, "I'm in quarantine because that's what my doctors told me to do. I just wish at a time like this we could not politicize something like this and show compassion to people that are struggling with this. It's real. It really is a pandemic that has swept our nation and even the world. I mean, if the President of the United States can get it, obviously anyone can get it. I trust that I'll come through this and be seeing you all in person soon." Yeah. Even the president can get it. I don't think you get to say even the president can get it when the president is running around criticizing other people who wear masks, trying not to get it. I mean, that the Rose Garden ceremony for Judge Handmaid, masks were as rare as hen's teeth. Yeah. Oh, and then there's another gospel sharp that's sick. The San Antonio media reporting that John Starve Hagee also has the Rona. His son, Matt, who has largely taken over duties for his daddy, because his daddy's practically immobile now. He has become so consumed by his gluttony that he's scarcely able to move. KSAT News reported that Sunday afternoon during the church's online service on Facebook, Matt Hagee told the church body that his father was informed by his doctors Friday that he had tested positive for the virus. But it was discovered early, and his father's now on the mend, according to Matt. "It was, one, discovered very early. Two, his medical team has him under watchful care. And three, he is feeling well enough to be frustrated with everybody in a white coat and a stethoscope," said the younger Hagee. "He wanted me to tell you personally that he covets your prayers, and he asks for you to pray for him daily. He looks forward to seeing you again here at Cornerstone very soon. Covets." Well, last I checked, you weren't supposed to run around coveting shit. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, neither covet thou her ass or his ass. Don't do any ass coveting. But I guess it's okay to covet prayers. Now, again, this is the same John Hagee who said that people on welfare should starve. Yeah. He also said that God should either rain death and destruction on the United States of America for allowing LGBTQ persons to live, or else God needed to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't make this shit up. And also said that God anointed Adolf Hitler as a hunter and sent, and that God was heaven sent by, or that Hitler was heaven sent by God himself to drive the Jews back to Israel so that we could hurry Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, it back down on his holy roles so that the Christians could get to gigging Jews again real goodly like. Starve! Yeah. Now, John Hagee is just a walking, talking bundle of comorbidities, plain and simple. So, Greg Laurie, John Hagee, and by the way, people are beginning to worry now that Greg Laurie at the prayer march, and by the way, the prayer march was organized by Franklin Graham. I saw a photograph over the weekend of Franklin Graham shaking hands with Bill Barr, who had first coughed a loogie into his hand, wiped it on himself, and then shook hands. God! Woo! Yuck! They are a disgusting lot. They are. Hey, don't blame me. I'm only the piano player, Steve. Hitler, says Steve in New York. God brought us Hitler? As I recall, God also brought us Reagan, Bush 2, and Trump. Damn. God has a horrible track record. He does kind of suck. His medical team, John Hagee. Pastor Starve has a medical team. I fucking hate these people. I understand why, Steve. So yeah, Jeremy, that was John Hagee. Thanks, Mark. Our buddy Mark just jumped out and ran out and voted for me for best media personality in West Virginia. Much obliged. Again, it's right there, real easy to see. It's a banner right at the top of the headon.live website. Thank you. And there goes Marine One, just in time for the 6:30 to 7 o'clock block, flying back to the White House. Breaking news, Trump returning to White House on board Marine One. Not a word about him testing negative for the virus, is there? No? Should we check?
That's unfolding as we speak right now.
It's one of the most consequential moments in our political lives. And Bill Cohen, wow, he was on fire. I think that's so representative of what's happening behind the scenes with many people of stature who've had honorable careers, long careers on both sides of the aisle. Are just fed up. They see this as a direct danger, not only to the Republic, but they see their own legacies being challenged and crumbling in many ways. A lot of this start, I don't think it started with Nixon. We've had big scandals before, but I think the Nixon cloud hangs over this. And that, you know, John Dean is, for example, has had a continuing voice in public affairs, because we need to keep remembering that when you start going down a path of cover up and illegality and criminality, the pillars of the Republic begin to crumble themselves. That was what Bob Woodward and I used to talk about this when he was at the Post and I was in the White House, saying we really wondered whether the pillars would survive the Nixon administration. They did. But I think now we're in another moment, which is very defining. It's going to have a big impact for a long time. I did feel, Wolf, if I might be permitted one more point, I did feel tonight that the president was returning from the world of medicine to the world of politics. And people have been, you know, on the Democratic side have generally been pretty quiet the last few days. You know, Biden pulled a lot of those negative ads, for example. He's going to get back into the thick of it right now. It's going to be a fight. And one of the things you're going to hear again and again is we have millions of people going to vote early. They deserve to know the health outlook Both nominees need to tell us and tell us in detail what their health situations are. And I think that the Trump people are going to resist that. They clearly are trying to cover some things from us, but I think there's going to be an all-out war, I think, about getting and having the public see, before the country goes to the polls, having a chance to look at the health records of both candidates.
And you heard Bob Woodward, David.
That's David Gergen. He was a part of the Reagan White House that fucked America and fucked America for 8 years and fucked America some more. But he's an elder statesman now. Right. Oh, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Mark. Mark just wiped out half of this evening's fundraising. So very kind of you, Mark. Thank you so very much. That leaves $95 to go to finish fundraising for this Moran Monday and this the beginning of this first full week of October broadcasting. Thank you, Mark, so very much indeed. That's how we keep this all going. Seen on Twitter, Baltimore Bob. Donald Trump has COVID. Ruth Bader Ginsburg obviously won her first oral argument with God. Saw that, too. Jimmy says, LOL, Mother Pence suggested Senator Harris wear a burqa. Is he drunk? What the fuck is he talking about? I know. Look, it's millionaires talking on the for-profit media, Angelo. They don't talk there like y'all talk in the People's Republic of the Bronx or we talk up the holler here. No, they just don't. And so just as we had on Friday, we had a beginning to end picture of the flight of Marine One to Walter Reed. Now we've got the exact opposite of him flying back to the South Lawn of the White House. Something stinks. That's really as much or as little as needs to be said. And this is the trouble you get into. They're flying by the, what is that? Is that the Pentagon? Looks like they're flying past the Pentagon now. When you can't believe anything individual fact points all become suspect. Politico reports that 30 people have tested positive in his hot spot, his super spreader. That would be him and melanoma. Kali Maganini, two aides, Hope Hicks, Greg Laurie, as mentioned, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who was handed fake bullshit opposition research data by a Russian agent and gladly accepted it. Chris Christie, Nick Luna, the body man for Trump. He went to the presidential debate in the Minnesota rally. He tested positive over the weekend. Don't forget, Ronna has the Rona, Ronna Romney McDaniel, chairman of the RNC. Utah constitutional scholar Mike Lee. Yeah. It's funny, there's a in the picture there, Mike Lee, no mask, sitting next to some woman, no mask, sitting next to Ben Sasse, that new and different kind of Republican from Nebraska who turns out to be just exactly like the same old and unsurprisingly revolting Republicans. Yeah. Ben Sasse has a mask on. Young pimply-faced Josh Hawley of Missouri, no mask. And then two dudes with masks, and at the end, Marsha, goodness, Blackburn, no mask. The Reverend John Jenkins, the president of Notre Dame, Thom Tillis of North Carolina, Kellyanne Conjob, Bill Stepien, the campaign manager, Hopi Hicks, and all told, a total of 30 people who have been infected by the hubris and deliberate malignant indifference of this campaign. Hey, I've filibobstered for an hour and 55 minutes. Would anybody want to add to this? Anybody got any wisdom to add to all of it? You're welcome to jump in. Darlene, watching him climb into Marine One, says it pisses me off to see the United States assets, our assets that we pay for daily, Marine One, Air Force One, the Black Snake, the 20-vehicle motorcade, the White House and all its staffing and infrastructure, the military-industrial complex, et al., everything benefiting that grifter POS squatting in the White House, masquerading as president. That stated, I'm happy he's alive. I want him to witness his massive loss of the popular vote, and let's hope the Electoral College. Ha 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 ha. And then in late January 2021, finally be indicted. From your mouth, Darlene, to God's ear. And of course, as David points out, the White House will not allow contact tracing due to privacy regulations. Yeah, you know why they don't want contact tracing? Because when you go to, say, a cool kids clavern rally for Trump, like in Minnesota, you have to sign a release. And that release says you promise never to sue the Trump campaign when you get the Rona, having gone to one of these filthy events. Well, there's a chance that those releases might be found to be unenforceable somewhere along the way, maybe by a third party, because nobody can sign away your right to sue when they go to the... Let's say they go to the cool kids clavern rally. They get the Rona from Donald Trump. They come out into the world and give the Rona to somebody else. And you find out there who gave it to you and that they got it at the, well, then, yeah, they can't release. The Trump campaign can't seek to have released their liability. So consequently, you need to have some mechanism there to prevent that causal chain from reaching all the way back to you know who. And that's why, that's the privacy regulations, my left hand foot. That's why there's no contact tracing. President's health records. Lee in New York says, we know what that report will say.
He's the healthiest president ever. He has a low body mass index. No one's been a healthier shade of orange. He'll live to be 600 and then we'll be asked by God to build an ark. His medication said, well, nothing to do here. He has the biggest brain. He passed the IQ test by being able to spell IQ.
And this is the neo-Soviet world in which we live. Up in Vermont, Jeremy tells us, today we announced 33 new cases in one day. That's the most since June. It's real. It's fucking damn real. I know. I was told by a young woman the other day, it'll be gone after Election Day. She went on to tell me how she doesn't take vaccines because she's so healthy. It's interesting. It's almost like they're working from a script. Because a woman twice her age, who is a school teacher, told me the same thing. Oh, I don't get vaccines. I don't ever get sick. I have a great immune system. Word for fucking word. This shit is coming from somewhere. Well, and here we have further confirmation of pretty precisely what the ideological split is in our country. CNN contracted SSRS to poll the American people in the days after it was announced that Nitwit Nero had the Rona, if indeed he had the Rona. And two-thirds of Americans say that he has behaved irresponsibly with regard to the disease. It's actually more than two-thirds. 69% of people surveyed said that they trusted little of what they heard from the White House about his health. Only 12% said they trusted almost all of it. And he's reached a new low or a new high, depending on how you look at it, of his handling of the pandemic. Even CNN writing about this can't bring themselves to say pandemic anymore. They say coronavirus outbreak. 60% say they disapprove of his handling. 63% of Americans say his own infection won't change anything about the way he handles the pandemic. They were proven to be right because shortly after that, he said,
don't be afraid of the Rona.
Yeah. His overall approval disapprove numbers are at 40% approve, 57% disapprove. Apparently, 40% of Americans pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. Of those saying that they disapprove and that he acted irresponsibly regarding pandemic risk to others around him, 72% of women say he was irresponsible. And here's what's dangerous for him. That's 66% of people over 65 and 66% of independents, 65% of white people with college degrees, and the out-and-out maggots and Republicans are the only ones who formed a majority to say he was being responsible about it. It's not a good sign for him. No. Jeremy in Vermont says, hey, I don't get sick because I took vaccines. The vaccines have helped to boost my immune system so I don't get sick. And because of them, it's a great immune system. See, I'm pretty sure you didn't have to find that on a website. But somebody somewhere is pushing this bullshit of, I don't take vaccines, I don't need vaccines, I never get sick, I've got a great immune system. Right. Oh, and in some non-Rona-related news, there's a chain of convenience stores, gas stations, in North Texas, called Buc-ee's. Their logo is a buck-toothed beaver wearing a ball cap. Yeah, I know. So, Saturday evening, a guy was in the parking lot at Buc-ee's, playing a popular new tune. It's called FDT. Fuck Donald Trump. It's been around for a while. It goes back to YG featuring Nipsey Hussle back in 2016. But apparently this is the latest iteration of, well, no. But anyway, this individual was listening to Fuck Donald Trump when a guy came up to him at Bucky's in Denton, Texas, and cold cocked him. It's described by NBC News as an argument over President Trump. Well, there was no argument. The guy came up and said, well, didn't say much of anything. Just came up and punched his fucking lights out for daring to play a song called Fuck Donald Trump. But 44-year-old Jason Latta, L-A-T-A, was caught up by the Denton, Texas Police Department. The young man, among other things, got a tooth knocked out. Sustained a head injury. And so Jason Latta, who was caught on video doing it, was charged with assault causing bodily injury. He was stuffed in jail with bail set at only $15,000. The cops only became aware of it after the video of it happening went viral. As NBC describes it, the assault took place outside of Bucky's, a large convenience store and gas station, during a confrontation between the victim and a group of men. Denton police said, the victim told police officers that he and a friend observed supporters of President Donald Trump at the location. A verbal argument ensued, and the victim said an unknown male then punched him in the face. The victim said, I was assaulted for peacefully protesting and standing up for myself. Yeah. The thing's had 3 million views. One maggot wearing a Trump 2020 shirt says, you shouldn't even be here, bud. And then Mr. Latta comes up and says, turn it off. And then punches him in the face. And then the poor little triggered snowflake maggots who were triggered by a song, then flee. Now, the Denton Police Department did want to point out that Jason Latta is not a resident of Denton. I guess that that matters. Oh, God, what a day. First thing he did when he got to the White House was take off his mask, David tells us, of course. So he went right into the White House to super spread some more. David pointing out, speed, dexamethasone. Say that slowly, dexamethasone. No wonder he loves it. It'll be gone after Election Day. Lee in New York says, I agree. I expect it'll be between 5 and 20 years from now that COVID-19 will be largely gone. James in Illinois, some staffer to a reporter, to a CNN reporter, would you mind not asking him any questions? I don't want him coming over and breathing on me. I'm not sure the context of this, just something I managed to catch listening to CNN while listening to you. Hard to do both and get context, I understand. Oh my God, if that's real, that will probably turn into a clip that will make the rounds forthwith. And yes, further confirmation, the CDC has been prohibited from doing contact tracing for any of the COVID infections at the White House or within Trump's contacts. There's a killer on the road. His brain is burning like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. There's a killer on the road. Mm-hmm. So here we are in what Sarah Kendzior, a brilliant scholar of Trump's perfidy, malignant narcissism, all things Trump. Sarah Kendzior titled her book Gaslit Nation. Well, sit back, members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Just as I'm doing now, about 2 feet from the microphone now, just sitting back, relaxing, basking in this universe of gaslit weirdness. Because I don't know what else to do. Arnold in PA pointing out, he said he hasn't felt this good in 20 years. That's what happens when you take decent anti-inflammatory steroids. In my experience, it makes the old young again. And adding, yo, these people have no limits, no limits. They're evil, and their evil has no bounds. Yeah, following the helicopter was like the O.J. chase. It really, really was. Only with a helicopter. Hey, thanks. Mike in Cascadia says, hey, Bob, I voted for you on West Virginia Living. Thanks, Mike. Remember, every day till October the 11th, and who knows what might happen. Went to church on Saturday, Mike in Cascadia says. Church Mountain in the North Cascades. Don't scare me like that. 8 mile round trip, 3,800 feet of elevation gain. Fall colors out. A little hazy due to California fires. All the seasonal snow has melted, and therefore just the glaciers show on the mountains now. It was surprisingly warm for early October. The hike's right on the border, so the views up top are right into Canada, a few miles away. I'm reading Hannah Arendt's Origins of Totalitarianism. I read this quote today. It's a bit long, but it fits today and explains why political lying works. A mixture of gullibility and cynicism has been an outstanding characteristic of mob mentality before it became an everyday phenomenon of masses. In an ever-changing, incomprehensible world, the masses had reached the point where they would, at the same time, believe everything and nothing, that everything was possible and that nothing was true. The mixture in itself was remarkable enough because it spelled the end of the illusion that gullibility was a weakness of unsuspecting primitive souls and cynicism, the vice of superior and refined minds. Mass propaganda discovered that its audience was ready at all times to believe the worst, no matter how absurd, and did not particularly object to being deceived because it held every statement to be a lie anyhow. The totalitarian mass leaders based their propaganda on the correct psychological assumption that under such conditions one could make people believe the most fantastic statements one day and trust that if the next day they were given irrefutable truth of their falsehood, they would take refuge in cynicism. Instead of deserting the leaders who had lied to them, they would protest that they had known all along that the statement was a lie and would admire the leaders for their superior tactical cleverness. That's a quote from a long time ago. The idea that Donald Trump would get into the White House was Not even in the universe of random possibilities. Hannah Arendt was writing about Nazis. It says something that you can take her words and transpose them directly over to the present day. Thanks for that, Mike. I envy you your hike. I don't know if I could handle a 3,800-foot elevation gain, but damn it, it'd be fun to try. No, I did not know that. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, are you aware that Denton, Texas is the fictional location of the Rocky Horror Picture Show sequel? Just another useless fact taking up space in my cranium. Hell, I didn't know there was a Rocky Horror Picture Show sequel. Now I guess I got to look that up. Is Tim Curry in it? Did it ever get made? I don't know. The first thing he did was take off his fucking mask. Somebody that doesn't get paid nearly enough to die for Donald Trump is liable to just get plain old-fashioned pissed off. Les sends me a photograph of a semi-automatic assault rifle and the current nominee for the Supreme Court. This is a Barrett, M82A1. This is also a Barrett. Amy C. Both more than capable of killing government officials. The difference is, unlike the latter, nobody would willingly put themselves on the business end of the former. This irony that this leader and his team chose their own sniper is not lost on the goddess. Yeah, Judge Super Spreader. This is not like she is not likely to be forgotten in this for a considerable amount of time. Oh, no. No. sour note. Jeremy in Vermont says, does West Virginia even have any 3,800 feet mountains left? Let me see. The highest point in West Virginia is Spruce Knob. And it has not been blown up. Spruce Knob, elevation 4,863 feet. Highest point in West Virginia. And the summit of Spruce Mountain, which is the highest peak in the Alleghenies. So, yeah, and then that's the highest point. Then there's, Bald Knob, West Virginia, 4,843 feet. And I think they're both hikeable. But, you know, here in my attempt to recover from 43 years of smoking, gotta crawl before I walk. Jude says, Mike from Cascadia, there are days when my heart houses willing the pain of this mortal plane, hearing of the majestic hike that Mike embarked on. Offered relief. Yeah, you just know it was beautiful, don't you, Jude? Just breathtaking. In a good way. Pictures are welcome, Mike. Let's run over and check in with Todd and see what's going on. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Just trying to sort of float and bob along in the current of the crazy. I mean, is there anything left to do but?
No. No. Oh, before I forget, because it's so funny. Before I forget, listen up. Before I forget, you know, there's a reason to rewatch a certain movie that has John Goodman in it and some other actors, because it's really not about the movie. It's about what the movie represents. And, you know, when you said, shut up, Donnie, I had been thinking about
shut
that.
The fuck up, Donnie.
You know, shut the fuck up. All right, let me slow down. Now, that character, I forget his name, that John Goodman plays.
Walter Sobchak.
Pardon me?
Walter Sobchak.
Is he not a Trumper before Trumpers were Trumpers?
I think he has the potential to be one.
Okay, this is my segue, because right when I called in, you mentioned it, and, you know, it's unsavory. I brought it up last time we talked. I guess that was a week ago or so, but, you know, now time is moving so fast. We, you know, so many things happen in a week. The reason that
Hold that thought just for 1 second, so that people can get the full import of all of this. I don't know, the nuance, the ambiance. Let's let that clip live and breathe for a second.
Mm-hmm.
My rug. Were you listening to the dude's story, Donnie?
Walter.
Were you listening to the dude's story?
I was bowling.
So you have no frame of reference here, Donnie. You're like a child who wanders into the middle of a movie and wants to know.
Walter.
What the fuck is he talking
about? My rug.
Forget it, Donnie. You're out of your element.
He peed on the dude's rug.
Donnie, you're out of your element.
And this guy peed on it.
Donnie. Please.
Woo! I'm slamming it tonight. You guys are dead in the water.
You look like an ape.
That's a better ass, Walter.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
I am the walrus.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. V.I. Lenin. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
What the fuck is he talking about? They posted the next round for the tournament.
Donnie, shut the fuck up. When do we play?
Who's got...
That's why I get on Scott's case. Oh, my God. I'm
going to choke this. But that's a reminder. It's not just shut the fuck up, Donnie. It's you're out of your element, Donnie.
See? It's a utilitarian movie.
Can somebody get these quotes, these lines to Joe Biden, please? Even if he does, you know, it's a debate. I understand. And he probably can't say shut the fuck up, Donnie. But... it might seal the election if we all found out that Joe Biden was, if we all found out that Joe Biden was so hip, so cool that he could just look across at him and say, "You're out of your element, Donnie."
If you could pull him away from his phonograph,
stop. Don't.
No, I know. I shouldn't even put that out there. All right. Yeah, you're right. But so. All right, Scott, that's why I give you a hard time, man. I'm telling you, this movie, it's not like you
watch it. You got to watch it multiple times to get it all.
To get it all. For me, honest, I mean, you know, look.
Me, I want to be a little Lebowski urban achiever.
Well, don't when you? You? Said that, when I heard, I was like, damn, that's what I've been thinking, because I watched it. You know, I have to watch it once a year at least. You know, just because. But I was like, that fucker, God damn it. That's what, this is the segue. If people don't understand, you know, it's like a Mad Libs game, right? Like, you know, sometimes things are labels. You will often hear right-wing weirdos say, well, the Democrats, you know, they were the ones who were in the Klan. They started the Klan. Well, you know, that's like saying Budweiser was the same in 1934 like it is now. It's a label. It don't mean shit. It's about the substance. So when we say you have to insert a different label or name into the sentence, into the action. So when Donald Trump said stand back and stand proud or whatever the fuck he said about
Stand back and stand by. Stand back
he's
and stand by.
Out the brown shirt. It's like so. I mean,
sure,
you,
yeah.
I didn't spell that. I mean, what the fuck do you need to hear? I mean, obviously. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting too emotional. It's glaringly obvious to me. Am I out? Am I off base here?
No. You're on base. You're not even taking a lead off like you're going to steal second. You're standing on the base.
Okay. Well, that's good. Right. Okay. Fine. I'm glad. Thank you. Because we need to be aware. This is exactly, it's the same shit. And then when you, it's like, that's just one data point. But that's at the far right end. Look how we started. I mean, there's a whole, I'm ready for somebody to give me a fucking argument. I can debate. He started off with Lugan pressing. He started off with
Mexican rapists.
Don't let these pardon me?
Mexican rapists. Mexican rapists was the day he came down the escalator.
They're not sending their best, then, they're sending rapists.
Right. Exactly. The undesirables. Okay. And then you move on. Then he moved on to denouncing the intellectual class. You see, and that's some tricky shit. You know, because, look, everyone has their lot in life. And I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth. Everyone is born with a certain set of intellectual tools. I mean, you can make the best of what you have, but that's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with what people do. You make an honest living. But I don't know shit about plumbing too much. When the plumber comes, I watch. I listen. I ask questions. You know, now, if I want to engage in some behavior modification exercises, I'm not going to call him. He's going to call me. Or if he needs something archived or needs a database built, he's going to call me, maybe. I don't know what he does at night. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And it's not disparaging anyone or just, you know, just we have gotten away from, and this bleeds into this mask thing. That people have gotten so fucking dumbed down and hoodwinked, they're discussing, well, why should I wear a mask? We've been doing that shit for 125 years.
Well, let's add some context to all of this, because I'm seeing the video now. Darlene sent it along, and Sparky drew my attention to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember on Friday how they made a point of not letting us see in real time him getting on the helicopter? Only later did they show the video from the other side that showed him walking to it. Well, tonight they made a point, and I'm sure it was choreographed, of having him walk up those stairs. You know, the curved stairs, they're on either side. Well, they made a point of showing him walking up the stairs. The camera was a little shaky, but he gets to the top of the stairs. He salutes the helicopter, takes his mask off, sticks it in his pocket. And then as the rotors begin to turn for Marine One to leave, he stands waiting. And the first thing he did upon returning back to the White House was take his goddamn mask off, put it in his pocket, so he can go and infect other people. Either that or he never had it to begin with. And I'm sorry if people get pissed off at me for pointing that possibility out, but it's got to be one or the other. He is either being allowed to attack and assault people with a deadly virus, which is no different than attacking and assaulting them with a deadly weapon, and no one will touch him, or he never had it to begin with, Todd. Is there anything else there? Are there any other possibilities? You tell me. I mean, it could be a flaw in my reasoning.
No, and they're both terrible. They're both terrible because if this is a ruse, we're not going to know until after, you know, it'll be a year or two, maybe, you know, we won't know for a while. But what we do know is that past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior. I mean, that's just, you know, that goes for time long. That's just the way it is. So we cannot put that past this individual, right? But at this is why, see, we've been in the constant. And somebody on the morning show, you know, they said, well, I don't know. It might have been Heilman. You know, he kind of questioned about a constitutional crisis. Like, we were in it from the beginning, I think, to me. Because he does not adhere. The office was not made for this type of individual. And, you see, he has crossed the Rubicon from being a sociopath to being a psychopath because he is killing people willingly, and he doesn't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't.
And Woodward was very – he doesn't want to get sued, you know what I mean? But it's not like, you know, I don't have the right letters behind my name, but I know because I've worked in that type of research, and that's my background – before I doing what I do now. So I got no problem saying that. I have no problem. I had no problem saying he was a sociopath early on, you know, because he is. It's obvious.
Well, what vocabulary is just vocabulary. That's not name calling.
No, it's not. I'm looking at the behavior. And see, this is what I'm saying to these Southerners that I live around. What did you know about this individual? You know, we all knew his peer group did not vote for him. No better. You know, you don't. How hard is it? It must be very difficult for a wife to file a rape charge against your partner. Like rape. You know, just beat up, rape. All, you know. Yes, that happened. So there's a lot going on, but when you listen to his cult followers, it just doesn't register. And this is what we're going to contend with. And this, you know, something's going on here. It's a whole lot of fish. It's a whole lot of nasty smelling fish. Because is he the super spreader? Now, I saw a little spot where, all right, let me slow down. You remember... if you ever watch old detective movies or anything of that nature, you know, criminology, you know, if there's a lot of bank robberies or a certain type of crime that fits a pattern, there'll be a radius. You know, you plot it on the map. There's merit to that. You plot things with a pen on the map. It works. You know, it just works. And then you look at where is the center point?
Yeah.
Right? So... apparently, Amy,
Coney Barrett,
know, the Supreme, right. Now we know she had it, or has it, or you know, people react. We don't know enough about this virus. It's new. It's a new virus, and we still have too many people believing in this herd mentality. They don't get it. It's not the flu. It's not a cold. It's in that category because it's COVID, but this is different. This is a just a nasty, nasty bug. It harbors in people's systems. So anyway, people were sitting around her. Everyone got infected around her and him. But now we don't know who it is. And the White House, like they say, is a very closed-in area. But this shit about him pulling his mask off, you see, this is exactly... I wasn't telling you this. I knew he was that he cannot be trusted. What the fuck? This shit in a sealed up vehicle? See, this is a constitutional crisis.
Feels like one.
Am I overreacting here?
No.
Tell me something.
Mean, what's the difference between this and him using a gun?
We don't know how deep this is. Nothing. We don't know how deep this is yet. What happened to Louis Gomer, the fake Frenchie? Well, I haven't heard shit from him since he knew he had it. You know, Mike Lee. our whole government could be crippled by this shit. Because they're fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what's the news feed saying now?
Well, I mean, mostly it's all about just, you know, he took his mask off. But ancillary to that is that the White House is not going to change its masking policy. Masks will
what?
Be...
Oh, no.
Masks will... White House refuses to mandate masks for visitors and employees. Masks will be optional. Intentional homicidal behavior will be tolerated.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, it's not a joke.
Okay, so now, all right. Oh, this gaslighting thing. Okay.
Now, what happens when the dexamethasone, when they begin to wean him? Or will they wean him?
They may not. They may just let him fucking die out that way. Because you know I pulled that shit up. You know I pulled it up. And first of all, people, put on your thinking caps. Well, I pulled that drug up to a reputable website. And just like you said, you know, you had to be under supervision as they taper you off. It says you can't stop it suddenly. That's number one. Number two, he doesn't need no extra psychotic events. He doesn't need any extra. He's already fucked up in the head. He don't need no extra. He doesn't need the extra cheese on his hamburger.
Well,
he has
you want to know how they're spinning it? Now he got off Marine One not an hour ago, less than an hour ago. Press release from Americans for Limited Government. This from Americans for Limited Government President Rick Manning. It is truly great news that the President of the United States is returning to the White House, where he will continue to spew viral particles all over innocent people. No, where he will continue to receive outstanding medical care. The successful treatment of the President to date. Interesting phrase, to date, as if it might not be successful tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. The successful treatment of the president to date demonstrates just how far we've come in understanding how to defeat this virus. He's still got it! Sorry. Giving hope to millions of people. It is fitting President Trump has been leading the fight for flattening the curve, ensuring that hospital space, ventilators, and testing have been made available to anyone who needs them, and his progress is Exhibit A of the successful effort to significantly reduce the COVID death rate. Obviously, every life lost is a tragedy, but without President Trump's determination in expediting treatments and future vaccines, not in the present, the only hope would be self-incarceration.
Oh, incarceration?
In April, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo famously exclaimed that COVID is death, as his policies to intermingle COVID patients with the most vulnerable populations led to that horrific result. Today, President Trump proves that COVID is being defeated, and the American people no longer have to live in abject fear for their own lives. They can take their masks off and run spewing through the waving fields of alfalfa and the purple waves of grain. I added the last part just for dramatic effect. Deliver it like a Republican National Convention speech with all the, you know, all the vim and vigor and verve, even. Randy and PA saying, now say all that with a Russian accent, Bob. True. Yeah, that's a cowbell for Randy. But now, yeah, President Trump's return to White House gives COVID hope to millions. Yeah, I hope the fuck I'm not anywhere near Donald Trump, because he'll give me COVID. He has it, says James in Illinois. He's modeling extremely poor behavior, so there's no advantage to his having faked it. My opinion, anyway. If he's faking it, there's a wide conspiracy that's impossible to maintain or contain. By the way, I voted for you for West Virginia's best media personality. I live in Wheeling, home of the oldest steel suspension bridge in the USA, I think. Yes, that was the... That bridge in Wheeling was the warm-up for the Brooklyn Bridge. Same guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a major event. So folks, I want to make sure you were clear, or I'm clear. I'm clear. When you go to the head-on link, you know, that has the nice hot interface, the WordPress hot interface.
Head on dot live, and there's a banner right across the top. Vote for Bob.
All right, so we'll be doing that every day for...
Between now and the 11th. I guess midnight on the 11th.
Okay, that's really, that's very important. That's good. That's excellent.
And if you'd like to stay and help out, look up Best Sandwich and Best Restaurant and give our friends at Secret Sandwich Society a vote.
Well, you often speak well of them, so I won't have a problem with that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It must be.
Me, I'm partial. I'm partial to the grilled Brussels sprouts with lemon and parmesan.
Hmm.
And a little sea salt.
Well, I honestly, I cannot get over your description, because I just got in. You see, that's what I was afraid of. He ripped his mask off. This is... No, I think he's sick, too. I really do. Only because...
Yeah, he's just whacked out of his mind. He's whacked out of his mind on steroids. Is that it? I mean, is that the consensus that we're reaching for here?
Well, yeah. I mean, but it didn't start off that way. I think he probably did maybe, well, he probably did maybe have the COVID. And then, you know, you can't continue to do, even if pharmaceutical speed, it catches up with you. You can't continue to do that shit. You know, it just weakens your immune system. You can't do that. And so between the drug abuse and now the you know, those people are nasty, and the White House is you know, everyone has said, you know, everybody has said that. The ventilation is probably not really good. It's cramped. Probably has some little mold in there somewhere. You know, it's just not, it's not the best place in terms of being sanitary. But this business about him just leaving the hospital. See, that's bullshit. This is why there was a report on Wall Street Journal. A CNN anchor, well, not anchor, but a psychological consultant said, well, you know, he meets all the criteria for someone, you know, he's losing it. You know, he's off kilter right now. He's acting, in other words, that's an irrational act. It's irrational. It's irresponsible. Because either way, he cannot win.
Huffington Post is reporting GOP, Trump is so tough for not dying of COVID after getting world-class medical care. But, and Huffington Post says, few things are more important to Donald Trump's image than appearing to be strong. And, on Monday, Dr. Sean Conley, the president's physician, refused to tell reporters when Trump received his last negative coronavirus result. Everyone wants that, he said with a laugh. Well, that's because he hasn't had one. He's still fucking positive. Okay? He's still a killer. Jeremy in Vermont asks, what if he knows he's going to die because the doctors told him so and they pumped him up so he could take permanent history and die in the White House itself? Fuck. I don't think they'd tell him. He couldn't handle it.
Yeah, they sent him, like you said that. They sent him home to die. Because, you know what? I got off of my own. I cut off myself. Right. So that
dexamethasone.
Dexamethasone.
Emphasis on the word meth.
Meth, exactly. Right. So when I did the research on that drug, as we already talked about, you're supposed to wean yourself off of it. I mean, they made that very clear. But that also what is made clear is that this is a heavy-duty steroid, and it blunts your immune system. So he's taking that at the same time he's already taken two other remedies to boost his immune system. You know, in other words, the therapy that messes with the RNA, not the DNA, but the RNA, and then one other one. So, but they're working against, in other words, you would not do that unless this guy was on his last leg. Like, this is all we had. They threw everything they had at him.
Yeah, well, nobody's had the treatment regimen he's had. One person on planet Earth has had that treatment regimen.
Well, that's a hell of a thing.
Two different monoclonal antivirals, a polyclonal antiviral.
That's what I'm right.
Dexamethasone, remdesivir. Curiously enough, no hydroxychloroquine or oleandrin.
Well, that's what some of my friends were saying. Why didn't he shoot himself up with bleach like he asked everybody else to do?
Right. And by the way, just for anybody interested, dexamethasone, check with your doctor immediately if any of the following side effects occur while taking dexamethasone. More common: aggression, agitation, anxiety, blurred vision, decrease in the amount of urine, dizziness, fast, slow pounding or irregular heartbeat or pulse, headache, irritability, mental depression, mood changes, nervousness, noisy, rattling, breathing, numbness or tingling of the arms and legs, pounding in the ears, swelling of the fingers, hands, feet, or lower legs, trouble thinking, speaking, or walking, troubled breathing at rest, and weight gain. And then there's the stuff you really don't need to worry about. Side effects not requiring immediate medical attention. Increased appetite.
I gotta have more hamburgers.
Abnormal fat deposits on the face, neck, and trunk. Acne. Dry scalp. Lightening of normal skin color. Red face.
That's gonna kill him.
Reddish-purple lines on the arms, face, legs, trunk, or groin. Swelling of the stomach area. Thinning of the scalp hair. Oh, no.
That's going to kill him. And he's got to stay on it for 5 days, and then they're going to have to wean him off.
It's a corticosteroid. Anti-inflammatory. Can't take it with liver disease or a thyroid disorder. Take it exactly as prescribed by your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid being near people who are sick or have infections while taking dexamethasone.
Right. Because it blunts your immune system.
Ta-da!
It makes you vulnerable to other things. This is why that's a last resort. See, folks, could you do the research.
Yeah, and see, David in South Carolina, Stan, with another good reason for not telling him he would be dying. He would nuke the world if they told him he was going to die. He'd start a nuclear war.
He would. A duty to warn. He's that guy who, if he's losing the game, he'll just tear, like playing a board game, he'll just toss the board game out. You can't set it up, again, like it was, and you have to do something else. He was that guy.
Well, I got to tell you, Jude in the Great Northwest is always tickled when you call in. She feels in a special spiritual bond with you. And she said earlier, Todd's a kindred spirit. He, too, has eased some heartache this day by simply hearing his voice. The dialogue will add more. The Horn community needs to know how their words of intention impact others, and consequently, my words of praise.
That is beautiful. Oh, Jude, thank you so much. And, you are an empathetic soul.
She is that.
No. Yes, you are.
Oh, and you got a note from Shorty in L.A. Hey, Todd, please don't forget coronavirus is a shedding virus. I know for a fact that the White House inner architecture has not changed even with all the construction. All the hallways, many of them very narrow with low ceilings. If you think how furry animals shed, then you know what shedding virus is. Yeah, think of a Labrador retriever or a golden retriever. If you've got one of those, or cats. You got cats? You got cat hair. So, Shorty in L.A. says that whole compound needs to be shut down, sprayed down, Q-tip swabbed, all the heating and cooling vents, and then sanitized. I'm not saying disinfected. I'm saying this, Todd, should be done repeatedly, daily, and Q-tip swabbing, ventilation, carpets, and other services tested, being put on some kind of hourly basis, be it 3 or 4 times a day or whatever. It is a cesspit now. Nowhere is safe.
See, that's exactly what I'm thinking, because they can't just open a window.
Right, and see what the one thing they are not saying to us is that he will continue quarantine. He's not going to quarantine. He's not. No. He's swearing up and down he's going to the debate. It's so bad that Trader Tot, Don Jr., even thinks his dad's flipping out, according to at least one report.
Oh, my God.
And Nicole Wallace and Brian Williams said the two questions that were shouted at him as he got on Marine One, leaving Walter Reed. Hunter Walker from Yahoo was the traveling print pool reporter. He shouted two questions. Mr. President, how many of your staff are sick? How many of your staff are sick? Do you think you might be a super spreader, Mr. President?
He doesn't care. He doesn't think that way. It doesn't matter. And remember, he's fighting for his life, literally. He is an unindicted co-conspirator. He's going to go to court. He's going to go to trial if he loses.
Well, but back up. Consider this. What? If he insists, and right now he's insisting he's going to the debate next week. In Florida. What do you do if you're Joe Biden?
I wouldn't go. I would use that.
I mean, but is there a way to win on that? I'm not going. If he's going to be there, he's diseased. He's a disease spreader. He's a sick man.
Joe Biden's camp, you know what they need to do? They need to hire, just like if you're fighting for your life in court, you hire professional experts in the medical field and say, well, because either way, either he's lying or he's a spreader. That's the only way it can be.
Okay, so we're on the same page. There's no third option.
There's no third option? How can there be? I mean, maybe there is. I don't know. I don't see it. Let me be a little humble. Maybe there is, and I don't see it. But I don't see it. No. Right. He's feeling that way now, and because that's his natural inclination. And now, he's probably on his regular speed. Plus this drug, because remember, they have to do what he tells them to do. Otherwise, they're in violation. Because he's the president.
Well, I told you that Trader Tot's flipping out. Gabriel Sherman at Vanity Fair is the one reporting that. Don Jr. has said he wants to stage an intervention, but Jared and Ivanka keep telling Trump how great he's doing, according to one source.
Wait a minute.
Don said, I'm not going to be the only one to tell him he's acting crazy.
You say intervention?
Yeah. Don Jr. wants to do an intervention, But he says, I'm not going to be the only one to tell him he's acting crazy. Because, among other things, they point out, you know, he went on a tweet storm, an all-caps tweet storm earlier today, in which he tweeted things like, Space Force, vote!
See. All right. So, he's out of, you know, he's not capable of, he's not capable right now. But, you know what? They're going to have to put Pence in, and Pence could beat Biden, maybe. That's going to change. Everything's all messed up. I mean, they're still changing the rules here. They changed the rules again. We're still voting. We're voting right now, and they changed the rules.
Yeah,
Dave,
in PA.
You know that.
Yeah.
You know, our country should not be running like this. This is a mess. This is exact. You know what? Okay. So let me do a big rewind. Back to Dr. O'Brien. Now, you know, way back, we didn't vote for president. We voted for our state legislators, and they voted for Congress, and the Congress voted for the president, I think. Isn't that the way it worked?
Well, you vote for electors.
Electors. But that was like two steps away from us. Because you had to own land.
Back in the day, yeah.
And this went on for most of our existence as a country. And it kind of went two steps forward, two steps back, until we got where we are. But the whole rationale about that was because, you know, there was a whole faction that felt that we should, you know, common people should be able to vote. But there was another faction that said, well, you know, most people aren't well informed enough to vote.
Well, there was that worry, but I mean, by the time you get into the 19th century, you've got James Madison saying, "Listen, the system we came up with is not working. We've got to expand.
It's not working.
We've got to expand the franchise." And then Andrew Jackson, for all his faults, was a big believer in more white men voting. Okay, let's put it that way. He wanted more white men to vote, or to be able to. But it
was like 1829, maybe.
Yeah, thereabouts. And
yeah.
Hey, by the way, thanks to Thomas Jug a Punch, voting in that Best of West Virginia thing. And remember, it's real easy. You just go to headon.live. Although he says I did neglect the, and I'll not. I want to keep that one place a secret, and I know what he's talking about. And Freight Train Frank out in Iowa just says, I voted today. Please join me. Get her done. Hear. Dana Bash over at CNN. You might find this interesting, Todd. Uh-huh. A source familiar with POTUS phone calls from the hospital today tells me, he said, I need to get out of here. But he was being warned that if he rushes to leave the hospital and has a setback, it would be bad not just for his health but his reelection campaign. Well, he won. He got out of there. And he's still shedding, and he's still spewing.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, this is so terrible.
Oh, wait a minute. Caitlin Collins, CNN's Caitlin Collins reports, Trump stopped, went back outside, reentered the White House maskless, appearing to reshoot his entrance for a camera crew inside for a fucking campaign commercial.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, that. Jesus. Well, Todd, thanks for joining me out here on the ledge and helping me stay sane. I do appreciate it.
Well, we all appreciate your efforts and your successes. And anyway, thanks. You know, this was okay.
You know what? I got through this weekend and no cigarettes.
Oh,
that's something. Our buddy Dan Fisher pointed out. No, it wasn't Dan Fisher. It was our buddy Michael in Madison. He said, the fact that you've quit is impressive enough that the fact that you've quit in the middle of all of this makes it even more so. So thank you, Michael and Madison.
Listen, man, we're all pulling for you. And you know, and I didn't know that you had smoked. I remember you said 43 years. That is, wow. That's a long time. And you're going to feel like a different person.
I hope so.
You will. And look, you're doing the right thing. It's time. You know, I quit in 98. I quit a lot of stuff in 98. And, you know, it will change your life in a way. I'm not going to be all like, oh, it's a spiritual. No, I'm not getting into that shit.
No, I remember Robin Williams talking about getting sober.
Mm-hmm.
He said, didn't make me a better person, just made me a sober person. It's the same asshole I'd always been. It's just a sober one. Yeah, you go to a cocktail party. Yeah, I'll just be over here in the corner kicking the cat. That's what his line was. Yeah. I don't kick cats. But it's an understandable principle. But I just, in a way though, alcohol and cigarettes are different because you smoke more than you drink. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You can't drink it.
So, you're always trying to figure out a way to duck out because you can't smoke inside anymore. This is not Mad Men.
Well, you know, the whole thing in the office buildings, you know, this has been going on for probably 25 years now, 20 or 25, is that, well, the smokers get a smoke break because what are you going to tell a smoker? They can't go out. You know how to get crabby and they, you know, it's like, no.
The biggest thing for me was the pain in the ass of flying. Yeah, because I always made sure that I went through Atlanta because you could there were at least smoking rooms in the Atlanta airport.
Yeah, oh my God, Hearts, I do remember that. Shit.
Yeah, there's that one bar, I think on Concourse A or whatever. No, maybe B. Or the main area. There's that one butt that you go up the escalator, there's a bar, but every concourse has a little stinking room.
Yep.
Where all the hard cases are sitting around just, lighting them one off the other because they've got to get back on the next fucking plane and it's going to be 8 hours.
And they're so happy they can smoke. Look, I've been in that room, and I was happy too.
And, people are happy in there. And then there's awful airports like Charlotte or God knows Dallas-Fort Worth where, you could be gone for 3 days just trying to get outside for a smoke. And you got to, and there's nowhere to smoke when you get outside.
Wait a minute. Say that again. That's a cowbell. That's funny you say, because that's the truth. No, ring the bell, please. No, because you're like, there's got to be a place. And you look around, like, damn, I would have to go 2 miles to smoke a cigarette.
Right, and if you you can't sit down or anything because you'd have to sit on some, like, little sharpened spikes or something. Let's see. Airports I hate for that precise reason. Charlotte, Dallas-Fort Worth, Detroit, Minneapolis, the one in Kentucky across from Cincinnati's not bad, and Salt Lake City's not real hard to get out of and get back into, but those others, JFK, please.
Oh, no.
JFK and LaGuardia are both just, ugh. And that's even without regard to being a smoker. They're just horrible airports. Everybody bitches about Atlanta, but Atlanta works.
Well, you got to go, instead when you go to Chicago, go to Midway. Because I burned a J. I had one J left in my wallet. And I was like, and it was freezing cold and windy. And I walked out there, I burned it, and I was reeking when I went in. I mean, they searched me to the core. And I was like, nope.
I smoked it all.
I was going out to I was going to Oregon. I was going to Bend. Yeah, that was the stopover at Midway because it was cheaper to go through Midway than O'Hare. But I mean, they don't joke, man. That win in Chicago, I was like, it was cold. It was like, what's that guy? I was the only person out there. I was like,
two
shit,
seasons.
Come out
yep.
here, man.
Yep. Yep. Two seasons in Chicago, Dead of Winter and 4th of July.
Well, you know, everyone,
Louis Grizzard was right.
Rooting for you. Everyone's rooting for you, man. It's a personal journey. You know what I mean?
Well, I probably won't say much more about it until next Monday, because next Monday will be a big damn deal.
Next, is that 4 weeks?
Next Monday will be a month.
Yeah, so that, a month. Okay.
Yeah.
Just tell me about the food you've been eating real quick.
You know, there's nothing nice about it. I'm just eating anything that's not moving. I gotta get that shit under control. But here soon, I'm gonna work on the ramen broth real soon, and make my own ramen. And the other thing is, it's just chili season. That's all there is to it. It's chili season.
Oh.
I gotta get the brisket, smoke the brisket, season the brisket, smoke the brisket, brine the brisket. All come up with all that beautiful broth. I gotta rehydrate all the various chili peppers I've got collected, run them through the Foley food mill, come up with this brick red. Hellfire hot chili sauce, add to it roasted garlic and roasted onions and like, you know, some poblanos and shit like that, and it'll be it's chili season.
Damn, you're making me hungry.
And the other thing that's on the list is some fucking gumbo.
Oh yeah.
But I'll have to go down to Charleston for some good seafood for that. Need to get some crabs to, you know, just pop in there. You know, snip them in half with a pair of kitchen shears and cook them inside. Yeah.
Well,
it's going to happen.
Wow. You can hang in there with that drive, man. And, you know,
I do. And that's the other thing. I've quit smoking, but, he lights one off the other, between here and Beckley and back.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh my God, man! Jesus Christ, you're I'm like, strong.
I'm like, would you mind not doing? Dad, I've been working all day.
There's no getting through.
Nope. The signal goes out. It just, but you know, it dies on the event horizon.
You know what, though, it'll all change one day. It'll be different. It'll happen real fast. We're like, whoop, what happened? I don't know. Oh, God, man. Jesus. So, look.
It's just my world. Welcome to it.
I understand the motivation, but, you know, sometimes in life, timing is everything. This is not the time. Did the cost benefit? You know, you draw the T on the piece of paper and plus and minus. I don't think it adds up.
Nothing does. I don't know all the and I think that's the final takeaway for this evening, Todd.
What?
It's October the 5th. We're inside a month. Everything from now till November the 3rd is going to be it don't add up. It's crazy. It's you know, that old line about it's turtles all the way down. This is that. It's just nothing's going to add up, and it's going to be batshit bug spray crazy for the next, what is it, 30, 28, 29 days. I mean, it's Lewis Carroll. We're through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole. We've dropped the acid, turned on the Wizard of Oz and queued up Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon, and we're just leaving now, and we're not going to be okay, we're not going to be normal, we're not going to be sane, facts aren't going to be facts, fiction's not going to be fiction, nothing is going to be as it appears, and we're just in an alternate reality through at least November 3rd and probably beyond. This could be all the way to New Year's. So I picked a hell of a time to quit smoking. But why the hell not? We live in a world where where the president of the United States shedding and spewing virus particles, taking it off is a heroic act, giving hope to millions of Americans. Fuck.
I can't.
So
get over
just
that.
don't anybody have any expectations for normalcy, or for reality, or sanity. Hang on to your own personal reality. Hang on to reality as you have it around you. Hang on to the sanity that you have. But Jesus Christ, be aware that everybody else ain't sharing it. And especially not 30% to 40% of the people of this country. They are not in your reality. Is that a fair?
Not.
Is that fair? Is that fair, Todd?
No. Listen, all you have to do is listen to Washington Journal when Morning Joe goes on to commercial. And Morning Joe Scarborough is going to have some shit to say about that pulling off of the mask. I guarantee you, he's probably going to start with that. We'll see what happens. I don't know, but that I hadn't seen none of that. But the way you explained it, in other words, you just don't give a fuck. Well, it's a whole lot of shit. You don't give a fuck, and or you are insane, as we say you are, and or you're just a fucked up, evil individual. And I think it's all of it. It's all of it. He is disqualified. Go to the institution of your choice, but leave us alone.
Yeah. Okay. And so we are in a struggle for the soul of America. I know that's so trite. That's such a cliche. We're in a struggle for reality to be the dominant force. I mean, we just are. Todd, I got to go, man.
I know.
Have yourself a good evening.
You too.
All right, later. It's been a great conversation. Our buddy Todd, calling from South Carolina, Stan, and helping to keep me sane. Note coming in from Kenneth. For all those wondering why certain of us aren't showing sympathy for this piece of shit, talk to the ghosts of over 210,000 people. He doesn't care about us. He didn't care about them, and he'd rather burn this country right straight to the ground than giving up power. He's a narcissistic sociopath completely incapable of showing empathy or acting like a human being. He can't even fake it. At least that'd be something requiring effort. Sympathy for this traitor, this coward? Fuck no. He's the worst president by far in American history. It is what it is. Thanks, Kenneth. True. True. Turned around and reshot it without a mask for a campaign commercial. Can you just imagine what that campaign commercial is going to be?
I came back after beating COVID like I beat everything else.
God almighty. Two other possibilities with regard to the Rona, Renee in D.C. says. Two other possibilities, a false positive or a false negative. Oh, please don't add any more. Good luck. I've been voting for you over at West Virginia Living. Thank you. Thank you, Renee. Hopefully we'll get a lot of votes and shock the world. Shorty pointing out, you know, Walter Reed could have kicked his ass out. Because since the president is being a health risk to everybody and acting... Yeah, you know what? Acting against medical advice, AMA, will have serious consequences. Biden and Bob in 2020, Billable Rick says, I'm voting for Joe for president, and I voted for you for West Virginia Radio Personality of the Year. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. Remember, vote every day between now and the 11th. I was a little late getting to it, but maybe we can make up a lot of ground. If the whole Horn Family Community Congregation went and did this, it'd be something. So thanks, everybody. Thank you to Mark and to Jeremy. That leaves us with $95 to go to finish the evening. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Hopefully there will be more of you. It would be great because I worry about community fatigue because it's real. And a very small group of people keeps this program going, and we need more jumping into the process. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, you can vote at headon.live. Big old banner, easy as can be to use. Just click it, and you'll go there, scroll down. You'll see Bob Kincaid. You click, you put your email in, boom, done. And you can do it every day till the 11th. So thanks for that, putting that up there, Brother Deacon. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 45 minutes from now. Stick around, headon.live, and get your fresh Malloy right here. Best place to listen to the Malloy program, headon.live. Hang out in the chat room if you'd like. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. 40% of this country is playing Russian roulette with a bullet in every cylinder. Wear your mask. Wear your gloves. Keep hand sanitizer on hand. Wash your hands as much as you possibly can. Maintain your social distance, and not that bullshit 6 feet. Stay 10 feet or more apart if you possibly can. We want this community to be together when this is all over. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying,
"Don't be afraid of the COVID,"
avoid that orange monstrosity like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all.